Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns.
Hallelujah.
Most High, Almighty King, reign. Holy, holy, are you, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are holy, O Lord. O God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, mighty, mighty, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you. Praise you, Jehoshua. Praise the Lord. Hope everyone can hear me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty Lord. Okay? Making sure everyone can hear me fine. Praise the Lord. Before we go ahead and thank you, Yeshua, begin the program tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything seems to be well. Thank you, Sister Consuelo. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty, mighty Yeshua. Praise you, mighty Jehoshua. Well, I believe we're going to have a great program tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hope my brothers and sisters miss me on Sunday. I miss you too. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hope everyone, hallelujah, can go ahead and continue to follow our program. Of course, we're going to give you the latest information on the coronavirus for sure. This coronavirus is not going to go away. Amen. Thank you, sister. This coronavirus is not going to go away. It's here to stay. And the only time it's going to go away is when the Lord returns and makes everything new again. But before that, from here to the end of the seven-year Great Tribulation, this coronavirus will still be around. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Amen. So, hallelujah. And so I got to tell you the truth. What you're not going to get from the media, you got to be able to hear the truth. You got to be able to learn the truth. I was standing on the third heaven, my brothers and sisters, with the redeemed, with the angel, the Lord was there. We were looking down to this time coming, this time we're in, the time coming unto the Great Tribulation. And I saw this coronavirus from where we are this year all the way unto the Great Tribulation that is so close to come. I had someone said to me, this is the Great Tribulation. Like this virus. It's the Great Tribulation, my mom said to me on the phone earlier. And I said, wow, okay, yeah. Yes, truly it is. We're not in the Great Tribulation yet, but for sure, the Great Tribulation is so close, my brothers and sisters, for sure. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are in Genesis chapter 18 and 19 tonight. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, my brothers and sisters. Those two wicked cities with the fallen Nephtali and have hold on, They had control of it. They were very wicked. The city were very wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah. Some people come in, they immediately want me to go into the Bible and not share about the coronavirus because they want to just hear about this, the word. Yes, we're going to go into the word. Amen. But people need to hear clearly, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord is in control. The coronavirus is not in control. Governments are not in control. And you got to hear what I'm going to share tonight, what the Lord revealed to me about the coronavirus tonight. Okay? Some of you never heard this. Never heard this. Amen. So you want to hear. You want to learn. I told people over the years, for years now, that as Jesus said to me, men think they can know my word without my help, he says. I am the one who revealed my word, he says. Amen. And so he's right. And he's always right. He's always going to be right because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is always right. Okay. When you are with him, when you're walking with him, when you're walking with Messiah Jesus, you will learn, hallelujah, to be right. He'll teach us righteousness, holiness. He'll teach us the way of God, the way of truth. Okay? He'll teach us the way of truth, my brothers and sisters. He's right. He is so right, and he's always right. The more I learn from him every day, every week, the more I find out he's right. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you for that information. Facebook, sister said that, is not allowing people to report on the corona, is what you're saying, sister, because it's been reported as an abusive content. So you can see that everything is being manipulated or controlled. It's all about control. Okay, I'm going to be talking about that tonight. It's all about control. They are controlling everything. They think they are under control, but they are so wrong. They are so wrong. They are so wrong. My brothers and sisters, praise you, Lord. The Lord has said to me several times, he says, I'm in control, he says to me. Okay, it's for us to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean, the Bible says, on your own understanding. Okay. And we have grown in the understanding of man. And that's why we lean on it. We think it's good. And after we walk with Jesus, we find out it's not good. Okay? And it's not helping us much. Okay? It's not helping us much. Praise the Lord. And our walk, it's actually hindering our walk with God. Man knowledge is wicked, it's evil, says James. Demonic, fallen. Okay, and when something is so wicked and so fallen, cannot be good for us, amen, because our God is not wicked, okay, is not fallen. He is righteous, he is pure, he is holy, he is perfect, amen. And when Jesus walked for 33 years and a half on this earth, he walked in righteousness, always, hallelujah, always in righteousness, even amongst wicked men. And so he's such a great example for you and I. To learn of him. He says, learn of me, Jesus said. He is a great example for us to follow, my brothers and sisters, and learn of. Very important. Okay, so we did study the week before, last week. We did read Genesis 18, and we read of God's promise to Abraham, a son, my brothers and sisters. Amen. And that was Isaac, and that son is a type of Jesus Christ. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. Isaac is the awaited one for Sarah and Abraham after God made them the promise. Okay, they laughed, the Lord rebuked them, the Lord corrected them. But now they are awaiting this promise. What we, the bride of Christ, like Abraham by faith, we are awaiting the promise of God, his son, the son Jesus. Amen. So we are waiting for him. His coming, the return of Messiah, which is so close, my brothers and sisters. It's so close. Okay, let me tell you what the rabbis are studying lately, which is moving all the community of the rabbis internationally, not just, of course, they're looking to the rabbis in Israel, see if they can get an answer. A young rabbi, not long ago, as he studied Torah, the Tanakh, the Bible, carefully is what they say, And they bought himself into the word. He has found something very, very interesting, or very good, I believe. He noticed that from Adam to Abraham, which we're in Genesis 18, from Adam to Abraham was 1948 years from Adam to Abraham, my brothers and sisters. Okay, isn't that interesting to know? From Adam to Abraham, 1,148 years. But as he continued to compare the word and read it in Hebrew, because you got to read the Bible in Hebrew, it's just, there's so much in there, so much. Okay, well, from Abraham to David, it is exactly 1,948 years, exactly, evenly. From David to Messiah, it's 1,948 years. And from Messiah to the born of Israel, it's 1,948 years, my brothers and sisters. Okay? And so, wow, this is an amazing discovery to be able to specifically be able to go on these numbers and put them in the and look at them and say, wow, it's amazing. Okay, 1,004 from Israel being born as a nation to Messiah, 1,948 years, and from there to David the same, and from there to Abraham the same, and from Abraham to Adam the same. Okay, that cannot be a coincidence. Okay, there's no coincidence in the Word of God, my brothers and sisters. Okay, now to the millennium, I say, oh, they have studied also. This young rabbi looked on the Bible, okay, and find out that for the millennium to begin, the 1,000 reign with Christ, the millennium. It's he believes in his study, which other rabbis internationally are looking into this and are studying this, according to how he put the years together, he believes that it's around 8 years and 3 months. Okay? 8 years and three. And then, you know, they're rabbis, they don't agree with him on this. So I don't want you to take this as a written in stone. Because another rabbi came up with another study. He says, no, it's 10 years and 3 months. Another rabbi came together and said, no, it's 9 years and 3 months. Okay? And let me explain this a little bit. Daniel chapter 12 says that Daniel divided the Great Tribulation in 3.5 years until it becomes to be 7. And then he goes over it for days over the 7 years of fulfillment. And so what in one of the 1,048 years, there is a question of a number in which the rabbi, okay, and I believe it was from David to Messiah, the 1,148 years, the day when Messiah will be born, no one will know. No one will know. But we can read in the New Testament that with this man, this Zechariah, he did not want to die until he was seeing the Messiah being born. Okay? So they have the knowledge when would he will be born. Not exactly the day, but around when. So they're looking 1,000 from David to Messiah, 1,948 years. Okay? 9,148 years. And the number 48 is not exact. You got 46 or either 48. And so I like question of why is this not a 48? Because it could be 46. Okay? And it's what that is called is in our in the Hebrew Bible is the fullness of time. And the Gentile is the fulfillment. Our Gentile English is fulfilling, then it's the fullness translated from the Hebrew of time. It's like having a cup of water in the Hebrew. When the cup is to the top, it's full. Okay? Then when you're pouring in the water, and the water goes up, and that's the fulfillment when you accomplish putting in the water. So there is a It practically means the same. But there are things there that you can question about it. Amen. But so the fullness of time is that when the fullness of time comes, you don't know the day or hour. You don't know the day and hour. So the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ is close, but the day and hour no one knows. Only Father knows. Only Father knows. Okay? No one knows, but only Father knows. So and so this rabbi, this young rabbi, which found an amazing discovery lately, which is being questioned by international rabbis, including in Israel, what he's saying is that from here to the beginning of the millennium, he believes it's 8 years and 3 months. 8 years and 3 months. And that's you take 7 years of the Great Tribulation, and then in his calculation, then the bride had only a year and 3 months to departure. Okay? Any time between a year and three months is what the bride of Christ has to departure. If you look at it that way, okay? And so another rabbi will be 2 years and 3 months for the rapture to happen. So another one is 3 years and 3 months. But they don't talk about the rapture. They talk about fulfillment. Because when you study Torah, when you study the Bible, in the Old Testament, God always fulfilled things in his timing. So when they study the Bible, they study fulfillment. When did God fulfill this? When did God fulfill Messiah? When did God fulfill what Isaiah said, what Jeremiah said, what Ezekiel said? That's what they study. They don't look at it like the way we do, okay? But they're telling Israel, oh, Israel, your Messiah is coming, because we're coming into the fulfillment of time. And if this young rabbi is right, is accurate, or close to be accurate, maybe missing a day or two, then the millennium starts in 8 years and 3 months. 8 years and 3 months. Okay? To me, that's amazing. I'm like, wow. That is a good deep study of the word. If that's what he can see in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, to me, that is amazing. Amen? So, listen to this now. Okay? Genesis 18:20. The Lord says, this is God speaking to Abraham, because of the cry, help us, God. Please do something, God. Please, God, stop these evil ones. Please, God, they're hurting us. We need you to help us. Okay? That's the cry. They're crying out to God. They're crying. Sodom and Gomorrah, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah are crying to God. Help us, God. Please, God, intervene. Stop them. Let's keep reading. So they're crying for God to help them. Okay? The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. It's great. That greatness is the non-stopping cry, please help us. Every day, they're crying out to God, please help us, God. Please, God, stop these evil ones. Please, God, stop these fallen ones, because they felt powerless against them. They felt powerless, my brothers and sisters. Okay? And because of the sin is grievous. So although they're crying out to God, they're not repenting. The sin is grievous, my brothers and sisters, okay? And God can see people being killed, 109 people today, that has been killed by the coronavirus. And God can see the suffering, and God can see the cry. But are they repenting, is the question. Are these people at an age, I was looking at a video on CBS or ABC last night, And they were showing the body of the people that are dying on beds. And you know how they say that they're all people over the 60, 70, and 80 that are dying. Well, I saw someone in their early 30s. And I said to my wife, look, they keep saying that the elder that are dying, but look at that guy. He's no more than 30 to me. He looks very young. That's a young body right there dying. But the media, the government keeps telling people it's people in the old age. Okay? and that the percentage of the young people are dying are very low, but what you see on bed dying are much more than what they're saying. We're not getting the truth from our government. It's just we got to be honest, okay? It doesn't mean we don't pray for Donald Trump. We pray for the government. We pray for our president. We stay praying for him, and we also want to support him for the next election, vote for him for the next election, because it was God who put him in office. And you do not want to go against the man God wants in office. Because if you don't choose the one that God wants, it's like you're going against God. And if my brothers and sisters, when the people of Israel chose Saul and not the one that God could have given them like David, they suffer. They suffer very much. Remember who killed the prophet? King Saul. He was the one who killed the Christians. Okay? And the next one who is not Donald Trump is going to kill the Christian by multitude. Okay? It's going to kill the Christian by multitude. The next one. It's going to throw a lot of them in jail and beat on them. Okay? You don't want no one like that in office. This is why we need to stay to our plan. Jesus spoke to me a few months ago in 2019. And the Lord says to me back, got to be 7 or 8 months, to continue to stay with the plan to pray for Donald Trump, okay, and to tell the people to pray for him, okay, and we need to stay supporting him, my brothers and sisters, because that's the one Father chose. When people in America cry for God to do something in government, to put someone there, and God put him in office. Now, if we go against the one Father puts in there and vote for someone else, we as a nation will be in great trouble. I am letting you know, if this nation bought for someone else, they are in big trouble with Father. Big, big, big. And you don't want to have a living God against you like Father, because he's almighty. I am telling you, I got to deliver this message to you tonight. It's very... very caring, and in times of trouble, in times of difficult, Donald Trump has a heart to help the people. Help the people. Now, if you don't believe me, compare what he has done with what the other one has done before him that was in office for 8 years. Instead of giving you money to support people while the economy was the worst, one of the worst economy ever, he gave money to Iran, his brother, okay, from another mother and sister from another mother, not caring for his own people here, supposedly, okay, and supporting terrorist groups, like the terrorist group of Iran. Okay, he supported them, even with weapons. You don't want someone like that in office, because if you vote for someone else in office, they will do the same. Instead of giving you the support you need, in the time when this virus, corona, it is just beginning. It is in the first stage in the United States. And even the cases we have, like this city in New Jersey that is close, it's a 40,000 people city that are infected in New Jersey. My brothers and sisters, that's not even being reported. The news comes out, yes, they're closing down the city, okay, but they're not even supporting. They're not even adding the numbers, okay? And people who may not want to hear this message tonight in that regard, I got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you the truth. We need to stay to the plan of God. And if you pray, if you go to the Lord, if you say, Lord, I'm sure if you ask the Lord, if you should support Donald Trump and vote for him, he'll say yes. I am sure he'll say yes for you. Because that's the one Father put in office. And regardless how we like it or not, now, how many times did I tell you that Donald Trump is a type of King Nebuchadnezzar, my brothers and sisters? I'm going to take you to Daniel 1, and I'm going to show you something that Donald Trump been doing. The King Nebuchadnezzar dead, my brothers and sisters. Why or nothing? Hallelujah. Look what one of the things that the king, hallelujah, Praise you, Lord. Death. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Daniel, chapter 1 of Daniel, verse 7, unto the prince of Eunuch gave name. He gave unto Daniel the name of Esther, unto Hananiah. And this is when he gave him the number. But Daniel purposed in his eye that he would not defile himself in the portion of the king, nor with the wine and drink. Therefore, he requested from the prince of the eunuch that he may not defile himself. Daniel can only do this because God was with him once, my brothers and sisters, and because King Nebuchadnezzar have appointed men to support these men, to give these men the food that they needed to stay in health. They were chosen to be in office, first of all. Okay? The one in office we fall on the Trump will never do this. We'll never have pastor in the White House to support any of this. Okay? Never do that. And God so high brought Daniel in favor and tended love with the prince of the eunuch. God gave Daniel favor. Okay? God will give us favor, and we'll be able to come on the program like this and speak on the air while Donald Trump is in office. But now, if they select the wrong men, if they vote for these other guys that are running, that surely are for the Antichrist and against Christian people like me, who comes on the Lord Tower program like this and speak about all this stuff, will be thrown in jail and will never be allowed to speak, my brothers and sisters. Okay? The right men in office, God has, and God is in control for sure. God is in control. But the persecution of the Christian, my brothers and sisters, will be great if this happens. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so Daniel now is able to fast. Daniel is able to pray while King Nebuchadnezzar is in office. And he's able to eat the meal he wants, my brothers and sisters. He's able to fast for God. He's able to dedicate himself for the work of God while King Nebuchadnezzar is in office. So we do the same while Donald Trump is in office. Okay? But if these other guys are chosen, it's not going to be the same. Because the first thing they want to do is come against religion, Christianity in America. Okay? And try to remove that as it is today. Okay? My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. We need to stay with God's plan for this country. And God's plan for this country, okay, is Donald Trump. And the worst time that is approaching is coming. Where this economy is going down faster than anything. You want to have a man in office who can care for the people, who is going to, and let me tell you what I saw, which the Lord showed me years about Donald Trump in office. And worst time that we're in today, okay, I heard already, and before I say it, I heard already from companies, major company who have hundreds of thousands of employees said that unless they fire people in the months to come, they won't survive. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. Because right now, the money they have available for company for 6 months or a year, after six months, this country, look at where we are today. 1 month, March today. We're close to April. 6 months from now, the end of the summer, this country financially are going to be in a deep hole financially. Deep, deep, deep hole. Preparing for the deep hole financially that they're going to find themselves. How far is this going to go, Brother Elvie? It got so far when the Lord showed me this, that people were lining up for a soup or a meal for the day. That's what the Lord showed me, how far this is going to go, how far our economy is going to go to. My brothers and sisters, it's not there yet. Yeah, people are lining maybe to get food from school for the children and stuff like that, but not as far to what the Lord showed me is going to get to. The elite thinks that they are in control. And I tell you that because the Lord this week
took me out in the spirit. It took me to about 10 cities, where they have these medical people had in a very, you know how they trump for organs in these containers, where they trump for organs, where they have to trample them quickly and they have to keep them cold, okay, and very sealed, very enclosed, so they don't go bad or they don't stop functioning. Well, the same was with the coronavirus. They had it in a container like this, and they went to 10 cities, my brothers and sisters, looking to where they will release the coronavirus. And the last city that I had to follow them in the spirit, they could not see me, but I could see them. They went to Wuhan. They went to this warehouse in Wuhan, China, where they were processing meat, and in another area, a vegetable through conveyor belts. It would be a move. And some of them, the meat were in shells. They would put on conveyor belts. There would be a move. So they went and released that virus in the meat and in the fruit in Wuhan, China. And that's where the virus began last year, 2019. I saw it. The Lord took me in the spirit for me to see, so I can tell you tonight, my brothers and sisters, they released the virus, okay? Why was I taking to these different cities, okay? Because this virus, my brothers and sisters, is tied, it's very tight, very, very, very tight, hallelujah. Or its relations, it's with the Antichrist, my brothers and sisters, okay? Praise the Lord. And Revelation 13:1 says, and I stood up on the center of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads. But look what it had on top of the head. 10 horns. 10 horns, my brothers and sisters. Okay? And up under his horn, 10 crowns. Crown is kings. These are leaders. These are people he uses around the world, leadership, he uses. My brothers and sisters, he manipulates, he controls. This is the Antichrist, this is the devil. These are the king, the devil, my brothers and sisters, have risen up. And the 10 horns, upon his horns, the 10 crowns, upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Okay? Totally against God, totally against Christian, and totally against the gospel. That's what they are against. Okay, they're fully into the evil Antichrist plan and agenda, hidden agenda. Okay, when I saw it, I was stunned. I said, wow. And he took me to this different city, and I saw this city. I was in this city, and mostly they were taking me to this different warehouse, like the one in Wuhan, where they released the virus, coronavirus, my brothers and sisters. And I've been meditating where they're, what they have is 10 virus, and they only released one. But my understanding when I was seeing this is that they had the virus in the container, and I saw when they released the virus over the meat, that it was going to the market and then to be bought by from people to be taken to their homes. And the information about the virus is it can last 19 days, and they knew that meat will be consumed less than those 19 days, my brothers and sisters, less. Okay, so they have the plan to contaminate people. And that's what the doctor saw in his medical equipment in his lab that he reported, but then he was told to shut up. Like, I guess they tried to tell him that he didn't know what he was talking about. So people in leadership were fully aware of what he was complaining about, but the purpose was that they wanted to contaminate these people. That was the purpose, that was the plan, and that's what they wanted to do, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go back to Genesis. Thank you, Lord. Praise to Jesus. Okay, so the Lord says, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sins are grievous, okay, and of course, the city has to have grievous sin in order for God to allow this. Praise the Lord. In order for this to be allowed, their sins has to be grievous. And we know that with the sins that the nations have been committed, the killing of innocent babies and so much more is what why God have allowed this, my brothers and sisters. Verse 21. And I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cried of which shall come unto me. If not, I won't know. And so when you cry to God, my brothers and sisters, God listen. Okay? God listen. Praise the Lord. And I know people want more information, but I can only give you that information for now with that regard. When the Lord gives me more, I'll give you more. Okay, in that regard. So I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of. Okay, they're crying to God, God help us, God fight for us, God this, God that. God is listening to the cry, and this is why I tell you, God listen to everyone's prayer. God, listen again, God listen to everyone's prayer. These people in Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked, were evil, had not repented of their sin, and they were praying. And God was listening to them. Because I heard many years ago that God only listened to Christians. Not so, not so. Biblically, not so, not so. Again, they cried. God heard their cry. God heard their cry of these people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But then God says, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together. In other words, if they're crying out to me, they have the chance to repent. But they were crying out to God to help them, but they were not repenting. There is a difference in how you pray. Okay? And I believe some people can be so sincere in their prayer, but not in their repenting. Hallelujah. How, my brothers and sisters? So they wanted God to deliver them and save them. But God listening to the prayer, he did not save them because they were not repenting. God cannot spare Sodom and Gomorrah because although they were crying to God for what these fallen Nephilim were doing to them, they were not repenting, my brothers and sisters. They were not repenting. And so this is a different how you pray. And people usually cry out to God for help. But are you repenting sincerely before God? It's what God wants to know, what God wants to see from you and I. Are you turning away from your wicked way? Are you saying to God, God, I repent from going to the bar and doing this with this guy that I didn't even know, God? But God, I repent and I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to go to the bar anymore, God. I'm going to work on my marriage. I'm going to work with my wife. I'm going to work with my husband, wife should say. Okay, I'm going to work on my marriage. God, it's hard. Okay, it is so hard, but I'm going to work on Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go see that guy anymore. I'm not going to go see that girl anymore. I don't care how beautiful she is, what she's been telling me, that she's going to love me more than my wife. God, I'm not going to listen to her anymore. I am stopping this nonsense now. It's over. When she called me, I'm going to say no, it's over. God, I'm going to say no on my cell phone, it's over. I'm going to test her right now. I'm going to tell her it's over between me and you. I am choosing the Lord, the way of the Lord, the way of truth, righteousness and holiness. And she's telling me, oh, baby, why are you leaving me, baby? No, don't call me baby. I'm a married man. What I did is wrong. Same as a woman. What I did is wrong. Should have not seen you. I should have not gone over your house. We should have not ended in that hotel. Wrong. Don't put it before God. God said he would judge. When God to have mercy on me. I want God to save me and spare me. Spare my life during this hard time. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And so you have to turn. I have to say no. Okay? Have to say, but baby, I love you. I love you. No. No. I am choosing the Lord. God loves you more than anyone down here. Okay? God loves you more. Think about the Lord. Think about your soul being saved. I told people last week, that now, with this coronavirus being unleashed over the nation, now is life and death. We need to choose the way of the Lord. No more holding off repentance and getting right with God. No more. That's got to be over. That's got to be past. Now we need to get ready. We need to be repenting. We need to be serious. We need to be sincere with our God. We need to turn away from sin. Things that are not pleasing unto our God. And if we don't do so, we're going to die like the rest of them. It's sad when I hear pastors being touched by the coronavirus. Christians today in the United States and around the world are being visited by the coronavirus and are dying like the rest of the people. Should not be so. Jesus said, in my name thou will cast out serpent. Hallelujah. And that coronavirus is a serpent from the pit of hell. It's a demon. It's a principality. The thing that Jesus gave you power over. How can it overpower you? Thank you, Jesus. How can something that Jesus gave you power? He says, I gave you power over serpent, over demons. In my name, you will cast them out. How can something Jesus gave you power to cast out on his name now can overpower you? Because I'm sin. Hallelujah. And I'm repenting hard. Will allow the coronavirus to visit you and begin to destroy your life, your body. Oh, and it's not to be so. That's not why Jesus went to the cross for. Oh, no, my sister, no, my brother. No, that's not for you. Hallelujah. The world, yes, the world will be visited by the coronavirus. Those that are in sin and trespasses, but not you. Jesus says, hallelujah, Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe it. In my name they shall cast out devil. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hand on the sick and they all shall recover. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has given you and I the power over the coronavirus. He has. Hallelujah. But it's so sad a believer are being visited by the coronavirus. The thing that Jesus took upon himself on the cross and overcame the devil, all demon and all principality. How can now that devil that been defeated on the cross come over your life and kill you? No. No. You need to reject. You need to repent your disobedience and your sin and turn to God with a repenting heart and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, Jesus. Lord, I ain't not going to do that again, Lord. No, Lord. You want me to stop this nonsense of sin and foolishness, Lord? I am stopping. I am repenting. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I am stopping this nonsense life, Lord, that is not pleasing unto you, Lord. I want to serve you, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Empower me, Lord, to serve you, Lord, and empower me to rebuke the coronavirus, Lord, for myself. My family and my friends, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you what the Lord revealed to me this week. While I'm praying with the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord says, there is armor available for you during this time of the coronavirus, the Lord says. Hallelujah. There is armor I have prepared for my children during this time of the coronavirus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I began to pray, Lord, I pray for this armor, which I ask you tonight. Will you pray with me in this minute, in this hour, and say, Lord, give me those armor, Lord, for this time of the coronavirus. This armor I have prepared for my people, the Lord revealed to me. I have prepared this armor for my children, for my people, and they ask them for them. I will give to them. I will empower them during this time, and they will not be worried or concerned for the coronavirus. Hallelujah, for they will have peace during this time. I will empower them over the coronavirus. Hallelujah. If they ask me so, and I begin to pray, Lord, give me these armor, Lord. Give me this armor, Lord. Give me this armor, Lord, for the coronavirus. Lord, in this time of the coronavirus, in your name, Lord, I begin to pray, and the armor begins to come on me, and I felt, oh, hallelujah, so, so powerful. I felt so awesome, so peaceful. Now I'm more worried about the coronavirus coming over my house, over my life, or anyone in my house or my life. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. The Lord can give it to you tonight. And I'll come in agreement in this moment and pray for you. Lord, give this armor to my brother and my sister, Lord, during this time that they will not be worried. They will not be concerned, Lord, that they will know that in your name they will cast out serpent like the coronavirus, principality like the coronavirus in your name, Lord Jesus. Empower my brothers and sisters, Lord. Give them the armor. Give them the armor. Give them the armor for this time, Lord, this season. In your name, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. There you go. The Lord is giving armor to his people. He's empowering you to have peace, hallelujah, over the coronavirus. You're not going to be worried. You're not going to be concerned no more in Jesus' name. Receive them. Receive them from your God and be empowered during this time in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God says, I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Be empowered over this season. Be empowered over this time during the coronavirus here in the United States, in America, and around the world. In Jesus' name, pray for those armor. Pray for those armor over your life. In Jesus' name, you will not be worried. You will not be concerned no more. I thank you, Lord, that I receive the Lord. In your name, I thank you, Jesus. There you go. The Lord is giving it to his people. Praise you, Lord. No more worry. No more concern. No more. No more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He will keep you. He promised to keep you. He promised to protect you. No plague. No plague will come, hallelujah, over your house. He'll keep you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. So ask the Lord descending to see what the people in Sodom and Gomorrah who were crying to him were doing now. Let me go see. And so when you cry out to God, when you cry for mercy, God comes over your life. Let me go see what my daughter is doing. Let me come down and see what my son is doing. I can hear his prayer. I can hear them very clear. I can hear them asking me to help them for this and that. Let me come down and let me come over the house and let me see what they're doing with themselves. Let me see if they're forsaking sin. If they're truly seeking me, let me go see what they're doing. Praise your Lord. Let me come and see myself. Because I can hear the prayer very clear from heaven. Now, let me come down and see what they're doing. And that's what God did with Sodom and Gomorrah. I will go down now and see whether they have done all together. Let me come and inspect that. You know, I know they're praying. They want me to help. They want me to intervene. But let me come and see what they're doing. And this is where a lot of people fail God. Okay? This is where we sometimes fail God, when he comes down to see what we're doing. Because if you are repenting, you're turning away from that sinful way, from that sinful life, you're turning to the Lord, you're not doing that anymore, you're walking away, you don't want nothing to do with that person or that whatever matter it is, you're turning away. That's repenting. That's sincere repenting. That's what the Lord wants to see when he comes to see us, when he comes down to our house, our life, to your workplace, to where you're heading in the city, in the town. When he comes down over your car and you're driving, and there's the Lord sitting next to you, the only thing you can see him, but you can feel his presence, and you're praising him, and you're so joyful. But the Lord had come down that day to see, like he said with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, let me see what they're doing. Let me come down and see. He does it to me a lot of time. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's been times Jesus had come down to my room where I have to turn off my television. Doesn't matter if it's a Christian movie and it's great, you know. Sometimes he comes down. He just comes. And so what we should do is worshiping, praying to him. Those sort of things. Sometimes I leave it on if it's a really touching, great movie. But I realize that when he comes, it's a serious matter. He probably wants to talk to me, wants me to spend time with him. And that's what we should be doing. Praise you, Lord. But he comes down. He likes to come to our house. Praise you, Lord. So he said the same. And in verse 22, then the men turned their face from hence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham had a particular personal relationship with God, a friendship with God, second to none. Second to none. Abraham, this time, was spending time with the Lord. And you know, he didn't care what the other people were doing. He didn't criticize anyone. Yeah, he loved Lot, concerned for his nephew, his wife. He loved his wife, his children. He loved Isaac. Ishmael, he loved very much also, his servant. You know, Abraham was a wonderful man of God. But Abraham, this time spent was with God, with the Lord. And while the Lord is working on Sodom and Gomorrah, the people there, while he's working on their life, they're not repenting. They're not repenting. But Abraham is still in the presence of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, he's still there. He's still spending that wonderful time. The best time you and I can spend is it's the presence of the Lord. The only thing we take into eternity is the time we spend, the Lord revealed this to me, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Everything else passes away. Blessed and Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Praise the Lord. Notice that Abraham wants to know. Abraham wants to know the plan of God for Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? But Abraham had an idea how holy God is, or that God is holy, and that no unrighteous will sit in his presence. The wicked will not sit in the presence of God ever. Okay? And so Abraham knew that if these people will not repent, God will destroy them. God will destroy them. My brothers and sisters, Abraham knew this. But Abraham, as the bride of Christ, been praying for the nation, for brothers and sisters, for America, the world. We've been praying for the different nations, my brothers and sisters, which is God had commanded me to do so, and many of you. Abraham began to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah, particularly the people, because they were falling Nephtali in there. You don't pray for demons. Hallelujah. You don't pray for demons. You pray for human. Okay, and this is something you may have to seek more of the Lord of. I have to. Hallelujah. So Abraham said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, some people say Abraham more was focused on the Lord, but also Abraham knew that Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, his family. And Abraham knew they were righteous. Amen. Can say that? Yes, amen. For sure. Verse 34, but perhaps there be 50 righteous within the city. Would thou destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are in? My brothers and sisters, notice how I want you to see something that I read to you in Revelation 13 about the Antichrist, the ministry of iniquity calls. John calls him the Antichrist. Paul calls him the ministry of iniquity, the men of sin. Hallelujah. The men of sin. Okay? John said that it was 10 kings. 10 kings. I was shown 10 cities where they wanted to release the coronavirus. 10 cities the Lord showed me. Okay? And there's no coincidence in that. Verse 25, then, be far from thee to do this manner. Slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from me. Should not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is so, had such a great understanding of God, and a lot of people don't have that, because Abraham called him the judge of all the earth do right. The judge of all. The judge of all, my brothers and sisters. He has such a good understanding of God. He truly had wisdom from God, knowing who God is. A lot of people don't know that today. Okay? A lot of people don't know that today, my brothers and sisters. They don't have that understanding of God, that he's the judge of all, and that he's judging the nation right now through the coronavirus. He's executing judgment. A lot of people could not say that cannot believe that. And he don't even know that. But he is. My brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. So he's praying for them. Praying. Sent the city. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, if I found in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, hallelujah, I will spare all plagues for their sake. Now look what God is saying. He didn't say all the people. He says all the plagues. And this is different than that. I will not destroy the city. I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The city will not be destroyed. If I can find, he says 50 righteous. Okay? If we can find. But, you know, at this moment, he already had come down over Sodom and Gomorrah and had not found 50. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham did not know God's business in regard that he already knew that there were not 50 in Sodom and Gomorrah, that there was only one righteous man in his family, Lot. One. Bible insisted that the city could not be spared because the father Nephtalim were in there. And when it says that great city is related to the Nephtalim, every time the Bible says great, it's in regard to them. Okay? I showed that back in Genesis 8 and 9. That great. In Genesis even, I'm sorry, Genesis 6 also. Okay? About the fallen ones. When they began to multiply, they were great, mighty warriors. And that great is only applied to them throughout the whole Bible. It's only applied to them, okay? Because they are the one who could do all this evil upon the people and bring all this wickedness upon humanity and teach humanity so much witchcraft and so much evil. They were the one. What do you think they're doing to discern to our nation today, to our leadership and government? They are the one communicating with them, teaching them wickedness. You know that there are three drugs right now. I want you to look this up. Google this. I want you to Google this information I'm going to give you now. And I want you to see with your own eyes what I'm telling you tonight. There are three drugs that are being used in our governments today and around the world to help the people with the coronavirus. One of them, which one of them ends up with, I think it's Theraphis, which is the last of the name is S-I-S, Theraphis or something like that. Got to look it up. And you know that this drugs is in relationship with people's DNA, like the RFID and the 5G. They've been able to put in these drugs, the same technology they have in the 5G, my brothers and sisters, and in the RFID, into these drugs. Which are being offered to people when they are found positive for the coronavirus. Okay? All over the U.S. All over the U.S. right now. Okay? I've been told today that New York City have over 1,500 cases of the coronavirus, my brothers and sisters. Okay? It changes people. These drugs are being injected to people, supposedly to help them out during this coronavirus, okay, which they tell them it's going to take away your headaches, it's going to bring your fever down and all that, okay. Even in the information of the drugs, it tells you, because I heard doctors online saying on the news, DNA, it tells you they have to do with the DNA, human DNA, my brothers and sisters. And I'm listening to them, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, how can these people be so blind? How can people be so blind? Okay? It changes human DNA. They're going to inject something in people that are getting the coronavirus that is going to change their DNA. Do you think that's something safe for people to take? No. No. My brothers and sisters. But they waited for this opportunity. They firmed. They created the problem in order to bring their wicked solution. Because that's what it is. It's a wicked solution. They create the problem, and then they come out with a wicked solution and say, oh, no, we got the solution. This will take your high fever. This will take your headache away. You know, this will help you so much. And it's just so evil. So, so evil. But it's happening. And who do you think gave that knowledge to humans through CERN? The fallen Nephilim. Okay? They are the one giving this information to humans today, to scientists. Okay? Scientists are writing them down. Oh, they, you know, we got this solution. This is going to help your humanity. Give them this. Oh, man. Oh, man. They're wicked. That's right. They're great evil. Great evil. Hallelujah. So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am I, dust and ashes. So Abraham knows his place in God. Abraham knows we need to be humble before God. We humble ourselves before him. And that when we are humble before him, we know that what we just are dust and ashes. So we are. God made us in the garden that way. Okay, that's what we are. When we humble ourselves before God, okay? We don't think more of ourselves than what we should. We're dust and ashes. That's it. Praise the Lord. Verse 28. Perhaps there shall lack 40 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Not destroy it, he says. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So still talking about not destroying the city and the people in it. God's talking about sparing the city and sparing the people, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter that although they were crying to God, they were not repenting. And this is the seriousness. Hallelujah. This is the seriousness with God. That when we cry out to him for him to help us, we also need to repent and turn away from our wicked way. My brothers and sisters. But sometimes that's the less people do. And they think that, you know, oh, God will spare me. God heard my cry. I prayed this morning, and I know God heard me. He heard me. And then they go back doing the sinful, going up with the sinful life. But for the matter that they pray and God heard them, they think it's okay. No, it's not okay. Not with God. 29. And he spoke unto him yet again and said, perhaps there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. So God is still letting Abraham know, look, he's merciful, he's good. He's willing to forgive them. If they turn away from the sin, God is willing to forgive them and spare them. But the people were unwilling. Unwilling. My brothers and sisters. Looks like the technology that fallen Nephilim has given them were making their life too comfortable. Siri. Okay, Google. Cortana. It looks like the technology they were receiving was too comfortable. And it was giving them such an easy life. And these automatic machines that were working in the warehouse and doing so much, and these unmanned plane and so much was making their life too easy. And they don't want to turn away from that, having that easy life. No, no, they didn't want to turn away from that easy life. Okay? They want the automatic machines everywhere, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. So sad. Verse 18. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak, said Abraham. Perhaps there should be 30 be found there. He said, I will not destroy for the 30. Look at the patience of God with his son Abraham, his friend. He's interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. God is listening to him. And at this moment, although he had given his angel charge over thee, over them, to destroy, to remove Lot, the angel had ordered from God when he came down, when Jesus came down with the other two angels, one on his right, one on his left, the order was go to Sodom and Gomorrah, get Lot and his family out of there. Fire is coming down over them to be destroyed. That was the order. The order has been given to the angel. But notice something. Father God from heaven, as Abraham is talking to his son, Messiah, Father God, yet fire had not come down over Sodom and Gomorrah while Abraham is praying to him. Still the fire had not come down. In these years that we had on this earth, the church, we've been praying for America, for soul to be saved, for the world, for God to save. And notice that nothing has happened all the way until 2019. We never had a virus like this COVID-19. Yes, we had this start back in 2010, I believe it was. But that's it. Sorry, it was just it, nothing else. Okay? And it was not so bad as this one is. But because when the fullness of time comes, fulfillment of time comes, and God says enough is enough, okay? Now God says, I am releasing the coronavirus, COVID-19. And this virus is a shadow of the Great Tribulation. It's not going away. It's not going away. They can come up with whatever shot they want to come up. They can make up whatever shot they want to make up, whatever they want to make up. They know, which they will never tell the people, that this virus will never go away. Never will go away. Never, never. Until Messiah returns and removes it. Okay? Removes it completely, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The economy is going to fall. They're trying to stop the economy from falling, but that's impossible. Jesus had told me this also last year. Back in the end of 18, he says, the economy is going to fall. He says, never gave me the day, but he has shown me back in 2019, in the last month of 2019, he began to show me about this coronavirus before it came. Like, it was like June, July, all those months, like, he kept showing me how bad it will be soon, he says, soon. And so when 2020 began, I'm already telling the people something is going to happen soon, something. The Lord has shown me this, and I said, I don't know, and people kept asking me, when, Brother Elvin, when? I said, soon. I know it just, and I share a testimony, which it's all recorded on the archive. I share a testimony when the Lord has given me a revelation of something to come, that it came a month away, it began to happen. Okay? And it was the same with this virus. It was the same. Okay? This virus is not going away. The world will never be the same anymore. Will never be the same. Okay? Never be the same. They are ready. They're putting in the AI machine, computer. They put in how many people are going to die out of this virus. And AI first came out with 50 million people in America. When they put it again, a couple of weeks or 3 weeks after, it said 150 million people are going to be infected with the coronavirus. And as China, the percentage, 5% of the people in China have died of the coronavirus, or 3,000 something. Well, if you take of 150 million people and 5% of the people are going to die, that is 7.5 million people are going to die of this coronavirus. And the term, I don't know if it was 3 years or 2 years or 5 years, something like that. It's between those years. I don't know if it was between two and five. I can't really recall it right. Someone probably can look it up. But in that period of time, 150 million in America will be infected is what they're saying, and 7.5 people would have died in 2 years. And I was like, I was doing the math, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people. 7.5 million people dead in 2 years by the coronavirus. And this is not even worldwide. Worldwide, it's like the same movie in Italy and France and Germany, my brothers and sisters. That 5% of China will apply to them too. So if you put all the numbers together, you're talking about over 25 million people will have died of the coronavirus in 2 to 5 years. That is a lot of people, my brothers and sisters. And then over 300 million people infected worldwide. That's what they're looking at. Those are the numbers they're looking at right now, my brothers and sisters. That's stunning. That is stunning. Okay? But the Lord is in control. Okay? The Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. He will keep us. But the Lord also has a purpose. Yes, God allowed this. But remember what God showed me last year, at the end of the last year, that he is going to revive his people with a supernatural power of God to go out and evangelize these people. But it has to, since people have not believed the church over so many years, it has come so atheist in their belief. Now, when this virus really conquered more people, this is what I believe in regard to what the Lord has shown me, then the Lord will empower his bride to go out and evangelize people one last time. And this is what I call in the Bible, the last rain, the last revival, the great revival that has been prophesied for over 100 years in America. In New York City, back in the 1800s, this woman of God spoke and said, God showed her a vision of the end of time. My brothers and sisters, in the 21st century, that will be a revival before Jesus will take his bride home like this earth had never experienced before. And she prophesied this, and it was written, my brothers and sisters. Okay, but it needs to get to the point where people would, when we go out and the power of God to evangelize them, really, really, when we go out and we say, you would like to receive the Lord and be healed, they're going to say yes. Okay, but people are not there yet. The pride of people is still, oh, our government is going to save us. They're going to come with a vaccine. They're going to come with a cure soon. So right now, their unbelief is over their head. It's all over their head. Their unbelief is so high right now. It's all the way to heaven. And God can see their unbelief. It's so great, but God's going to break that idol. That's an idol. Their unbelief has come to be such a great idol, my brothers and sisters. But when that idol begins to break down, the Lord showed me when they are humble themselves, the Lord says, then you're going to see thousands upon thousands come to listen to your program, the Lord says. They're not listening because they say, Lord, why are there people coming to listen to me by the thousands? And the Lord showed me. And when Jesus showed me, he says, fear not, my son. Continue to do what I asked you to do, what I commanded you to do. But then he showed me, when I break their pride and they humble themselves, you're going to see them come by thousands to your program to listen, the Lord says. Okay, and said, thank you, Lord. So I know it's not there. Jesus already showed me. He's been very specific on the things that are going to happen on this nation, on America. The world will also experience that too, yes. But in America specifically, he has shown me where he's going to take America to the level. He's going to bring down every single idol in America. He's going to break that down to humble the people. Hallelujah. When people repent of their pride, doubt, and unbelief, that's when their idols are completely down, broken. And there's nothing new about this. Israel went through that too for many years, but God has to do the same to them. God has to allow the enemy to come in and take everything they have and leave them broke. And when they came together as a people and began to cry out to God, that's when God said, okay. And God forgave them, and then God blesses them again, my brothers and sisters. America is not there yet. Their pride is too high. Okay? People are being shaken now. The media, government, the city, the country, the town. They're being shaken, but they're not what God wants them to be. They're not getting underneath yet. They're not crying out to God yet. They will. They will. Don't worry. Mighty is our God. Mighty is our God. When they see that everything they have, they lost, all their riches, all their wealth are gone, okay? And now they have to totally depend on God, then they will cry out. But still, there's too many rich billionaire ministers and people that have not prayed on their knees for over 40, 50, 60 years. They haven't gotten on their knees. They don't know what is to pray on their knees. People ask me all the time, brother, how should I pray? Should I pray on my bed? Should I pray on my chair? Should I pray? When you have an urgent prayer, you have no problem going on your knees before your God. No problem. But when you have problem going on your knees, that is pride. That is pride. Okay? So, praise the Lord. Look it up on Google, sister. Look up, just look for the drugs that are being used for the coronavirus. Come back to coronavirus. You'll find it. Verse 31, and he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. Amen. Verse 32, he said, oh no, Lord, be angry. I will speak yet about this once. Perhaps 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. After he says 10, 10 is the number of men. Okay? This is when God, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, 10 is the number of men. Notice that I read to you Revelation 13, my brothers and sisters, Revelation 13, 10 crown. When I was taking following these people that have the coronavirus still encased, ready to release it in Wuhan, China, they went to 10 city, hallelujah. This coronavirus is of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. It's of the Antichrist. Okay? It's of the Antichrist. And well, sister, the good thing is that you pray. The people are not praying, refusing to pray. They'll write to you to pray for them, but they won't pray themselves. That's pride. That is pride. God wants us to pray and call ourselves to him. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord went his way as soon as he has finished communing with Abraham. Abraham returned to his place. Hallelujah. Abraham did not offend the Lord. But the Lord answered Abraham everything he needed to hear. Everything in regard to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. For Abraham to have peace in his heart that God was destroying them, not because God was not being merciful. It was because their sins were so great. So great. My brothers and sisters, and one of the things that demon hate is fire. The city will burn with fire. It's one of the things that I learned from the year that demon hate is fire. When you're rebuking a demon, call upon the fire of the Lord, upon that soul to be delivered. And watch how the demon will scream and will run out of there. They don't like the fire of God. Okay? They do not. Praise you, Jesus. They will not like the fire of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Very important. You need to know when you do deliverance. Verse 19, and there came two angels to Sodom that evening, and Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. Now, we're not to worship the creation of God, only God. But Lot was so humble, my brothers and sisters. He bowed himself, not because Lot feared them or anything like that, because he was humble. Lot was a humble man. And this is what God is teaching us about Lot and Abraham. My brothers and sisters. Verse 2, he said, behold now, my Lord is turning, I pray you unto your servant house, tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise early and go your way. And they said, nay, but no, but we will, hallelujah, remain in the street all night. Hallelujah. We will remain in the city all night. Praise the Lord. Because their mission, their order from God was to come to the city, okay, and to take Lot early and his family early out of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? My brothers and sisters, just to take them out of there. So they came to Lot. They came strictly to Lot. That's why Lot sought them. Clearly, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, if they turned unto him and entered his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Look at serving Lot, my brothers and sisters. Lot was a kind man. Look how willing he is to serve them, showing his kindness to other people. That's what Lot and Abraham was. Abraham offered to cook for the Lord and the angel. Okay? He offered to cook for them. Lot the same. Come, I'll bake you. I'll bake for you. Come and eat in my house. Okay? Such a great servant of God, both. Verse 4. But before they laid down, the men of the city that evening, and the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, compassed the house around. Now, why are they being so wicked and so evil? Because evil knows when you are a man of God. Okay, that happens to me almost all the time. If I walk into a house and there are wicked, evil people there, they will want me out. They cannot stand the Lord being in my life. It bothers them. It really have them want to run out. Okay? Really run out. Really run out. And I can have people testify of this. If I go to a house and there's someone demonic there, the person wants to run out of the house. Cannot be there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's very important. Praise to God that we walk with the Lord. We ask the Lord to come with us. Because what he has, demon cannot stand. When Jesus showed up in Jerusalem, the dummy on the tomb, said, they call him Son of the Most High God. Have you come to torment us? They get tormented. When you come in with the Lord, they get tormented. They don't want you to be around with the Lord, my brothers and sisters. But we walk with the Lord. Verse 5. And they call unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men who came unto thee this night? Bring them out that we may know them. Now they're getting fresh. They're getting wicked. They're getting evil, these men. Okay? They're acting so weakly toward these men that they come to Lot and they don't come in a nice way. They're asking for them. They want to take them, to get a hold of them. Very wicked people, my brothers and sisters. Okay? And that's when men are not only turning homosexual, but now they're turning violent. What we've seen in a lot of these riots that we've seen in the different cities like Chicago, California, and Washington, that a lot of the homosexual, I was up doing one time, and the homosexual had their own parade, and it turned violence. They were turning against these men and these other people, violence against them, my brothers and sisters. And I kept thinking about their behavior. I remember I kept thinking of the behavior, what the behavior of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexual life they had, and they turned violence. They tear their clothing. Some of the men up north show their private when they tear their clothing, because a lot of them have dressed like women, and when they have fight, they have long nails, some of them. When they fight against each other, they tear their dresses, and they show their private. And they were even children, family with children in that parade. And it was so horrible, such an abomination, my brothers and sisters. And I kept thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah. The same behavior these demonic people had, they had up north, up in Massachusetts, and this gay parade, my brothers and sisters. They tear their dresses and show their private part to the people. Horrible, horrible. My brothers and sisters, this is an evil behavior. Verse 6, and Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him, my brothers and sisters. Lot knew what they were coming and what they really meant. Okay? Oh, no, you know, we want to meet them. No. Lot knew exactly. God knew what they were practicing, my brothers and sisters. God knew what they were practicing. And it's just so wicked and so evil when they behave this way. And so Lot brought those men in and kept those evil men out, brought the angel in, but kept all those wicked men out because they knew exactly what they wanted to do, my brothers and sisters. They knew that it was so wicked and so evil. And I pray you, brethren, do not do this so wickedly, he says. Behold, now I have daughters who are not known men. Okay? Let me pray, bring them out. But they didn't even want his daughters. These homosexuals did not want to be married with women or anything else. They wanted to be with men. So horrible. So horrible. And so it was not that Lot was going to throw his daughter in front of them and take them. No. Lot will have them be married like a normal person, like how God meant Mary to be in the garden between a man and a woman. That's what Lot means. I know a lot of people think that Lot was just throwing his daughter in front of him just to save the angel. No. No, no, no. He's talking about marriage between a man and a woman. That's what he was talking about. But no, they didn't want a marriage. Marriage didn't mean nothing anymore. To the gays and lesbians, marriage means nothing. My brothers and sisters, I heard a case in court, a two lesbian that have adopted a child, and one of the women was, now they were getting a divorce, was asking the other woman for child support. And you know what the other woman said to the judge? Well, this is not my child. I didn't have this child. It was not out of my body. It was not. But she was supposed to be the man in the house out of the two. So the judge said, but why did you, when you adopted, said that you were going to be the parent of this child? Then you had the responsibility to support this child. But she was claiming that she was not a man and she could not procreate a child, so she didn't have to pay child support. So now they're using the law to their advantage, my brothers and sisters. It's so wicked. It's so evil. So let me, Lord, I pray you bring them out to you and do to them as good as you are. Only to these men do nothing. Therefore came under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, one of his fellow came into sojourn, and he will become a judge. Now will deal worse with men. And they pressed sore upon the men. Even Lot came near to break the door. Hallelujah. Even Lot, and they came near to break the door. So they pressed sore. That was leprosy. They gave them leprosy, my brothers and sisters. Leprosy. Can you believe this? The angel gave them leprosy. Okay? And leprosy was the type of judgment God had given the men and so much more for their sins. So leprosy. Verse 10. But the men put forward their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Okay? And so he gave them leprosy and he also made them blind. Sure to take leprosy and make them blind. Okay? So they were having the worst day of their life, my brothers and sisters. Okay? And I have heard cases where people are getting leprosy, lepers all over their body. Okay? And so we can see the result of this kind of evil, my brothers and sisters. And this was the whole town, for sure. The whole town is behaving this way. The whole town is behaving this way, in such an evil, wicked way. But sure, and the man said unto the Lord, hast thou any beside son-in-law in thy son and thy daughter, whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the cry of them that have waxed grave before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. There you go. Remember what I said to you before, that while Abraham was talking to the Lord, angel already had the order, and I'm proving it to you now. Okay, angel already had the order. They're telling Lot, we already have the order, and the cry that the Lord had heard that he descend to see Sodom and Gomorrah, the people crying, God help us, God help us, but they were not repenting. They were crying to God, and God heard their prayer. So you see that God hears everyone's prayer. But the right prayer is the prayer of the righteous. The one who is repenting and turning away from his wicked way. That's the prayer that pleases the Lord. That's the prayer he wants from each and one of us. The prayer when we pray, but we also commit our lives to him. And we say, Lord, we're going to do whatever you want us to do, Lord. Help us to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure, to serve you, Lord. That's the prayer the Lord wants to hear. And then the action we take. Lord, I'm going to fast to keep myself for you. Lord, I'm going to keep myself mostly at home to keep myself for you, Lord. I'm not going to be unfaithful to my wife. I'm not going to go out and steal. I'm not going to do nothing that I'm not supposed to. I want to keep my life for you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Help me to be holy and righteous. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. To you, not a Dr. Shao, and not like you are. Praise you, Lord. I recommend people to take it to the Lord in prayer, to a Dr. Shao, to take praise you, Lord, a big decision like this before the Lord. Just take it in prayer. Because the Lord knows everyone, my brothers and sisters. He knows everyone and anything down here. He knows exactly what's going on. And so someone asked me this week, should we buy a house in a time like this? Like they're planning to buy a house. And I said, well, I'll take it in prayer before the Lord. And when I was in prayer, I heard the Lord says clearly, yes, they should buy a house. And so I told the person, yes. The Lord says yes. And so, you know, we don't know the situation and whatever's going on. This is why we take it before the Lord. We take it. And then it's what the Lord wants. If he wants us to do these things, I know that for a fact that the Lord is about to do something mighty among his people. Okay, I know he's bringing this judgment upon the world, but he's going to bring my brothers and sisters, okay, have a great blessing upon his people. He's getting us ready for his blessing, okay? And yes, revival is coming. It's closer than ever, okay? The 3 days of darkness is also close. I'm just going to tell you, we need to wait upon the Lord now. Because the Lord is working with the world. He is disciplining the world, disciplining this nation, disciplining the nations of the world. He's getting them to where when he sent his people out to evangelize them, they will listen. Because right now in their pride and their golden eyes, where it's all about gold and money, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. God has to humble them. God is humbling the world right now. Every single nation, he is humbling them through the coronavirus. And so this is why we need to ask God that for this time to give us his armor and give us strength, give us peace. Okay? And if God wants us to pray for someone in our family, whatever it is that is sick. My sister last week was working with a patient that died with a coronavirus, a patient. And then four more people came to her clinic. And who had the coronavirus. And the first patient, they were not aware. So she's on the quarantine now. And I didn't know this, but my mom told me over the phone. So pray for my sister that God will keep her from this. Okay? I have an aunt who has a son-in-law from Italy, and he just came before they closed down the travel from Italy back to the island. They're in the city of Santiago, back in the island. So my aunt Gladys, who's been a preacher for about over 50 years for the Lord, a pastor and a preacher, I believe she just got the coronavirus from her son-in-law that came from Italy. And she's been in the hospital. My brothers and sisters, I talked about her, how she got now and went prostitute for the Lord, great church for the Lord. Great church for Jesus and evangelized most of her life. That's what she's been doing for the Lord. So her husband passed away over 15 years ago and even before, just evangelizing the people out. And so now she's been in the hospital for a few days. Now, a couple of days, she got released back to the house, but she's not able to talk. She's not able to talk and barely can use her cell phone to text us over here. My brothers and sisters, she got the coronavirus is what they believe, and she's very ill. She's very ill, my brothers and sisters. If you can pray for her, I would truly appreciate it, truly appreciate it. If you can pray for my aunt Gladys and my sister Natalie, please take her in prayer. Also, our sister Pan, our sister in the Lord from Australia, she also listened to the Lord faithfully. She's our dear sister. We love her very much, very much. She's been a great sister to us. Okay. Please, she started having shortness of breath yesterday. She got up in the morning and she could hardly breathe. She contacted me. She's in Australia. She contacted me right away, emailed said, Brother Elvie, and told me what was happening. She had to go out and get supply for herself and began to pray for her. She's getting better, she said. She's getting better. But please, I want to tell my brothers and sisters to please pray for her. Keep our sister Pamela in prayer. She's a dear sister here at the Lord's Hour. Faithful listener, faithful listener, my brothers and sisters. And we got hundreds and thousands of faithful listeners. They're not able to listen to the Lord's Hour live. Okay? They're not able to listen to the Lord's Hour live. But they are faithful listeners. Really faithful listeners, my brothers and sisters. So please, let's keep them in prayer. Let's continue to pray for one another in these difficult times that we have been allowed to leave. I know that we're doing the last stand. Okay? The Father said to me, the end of all things is at hand. Jesus first said it to me, the end of all things, my hand, my son is at hand, my servant is at hand. Father said to me, my son, the end of all things. Father said in the third heaven, he says to me, the end of all things is at hand. And third level, where the street are made of gold, where the street are made of gold. And he says, the end of all things is at hand, Father said. Jehovah God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has said to me, the end of all things is at hand. Okay? So this is the end. This is the end. This is the end. This virus of the coronavirus, COVID-19, is going to go straight directly into the Great Tribulation. I don't know how much harm it's going to do in the Great Tribulation, because that is not in business anymore. Now he's killing people. This coronavirus is killing me, but in the Great Tribulation, he's not going to be able to kill people, but torment people, of course. All the devil loves is to make people's life miserable. That's it. That's all he loves, to make people's life miserable. And that's what he's doing through the coronavirus, my brothers and sisters. But our Lord Jesus, who overcame on the cross, Father has given him all authority in heaven and on earth. And he says, go in my name and ye will cast out serpents. I mean, you have power over a serpent and scorpion. To understand, this virus is a serpent from the pit of hell. Jesus overcame it on the cross and has given you an authority. When the Lord leads you to lay hands on the sick, these of the coronavirus, lay hands and rebuke this virus in the name of Jesus. Fear not, the Lord is with us. Greater is he that is with us than he that is in the world. We don't need to be fearful or afraid of this coronavirus. It's all in God's time, for sure. But preaching in love went out and spoke unto his son-in-law, who married his daughter, and said, get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. And he seemed as one who mocked unto his son-in-law. He seemed as one who mocked unto them. Why? Because they're down. They're laying down. You know, people laying down all day long, watching television. Comes to them, they're laying down. Lord said, get up. Get up from that sofa, watching the football. Hallelujah. Now, Sunday football night. Get up. Hallelujah. Let's be out of here. And that Lord looked like he was mocking them. Is he making fun of the game or doesn't want us to watch football anymore? What's going on here? Lord said, get up from your Xbox and your games. Put down your computer. Put down your remote control. Let's get out of here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is that looking at him like, is he mocking us? Hallelujah. They wanted to keep playing the game, the motor games. I brothers and sisters. So sad. People are so caught up into that. Now, I love what I hear from the government in regard to in 6 months when this supply, there were two ships. One ship was coming from China full of food, as they usually do, was turned back. One was coming from Central America. was turned back to them because they believe contaminated with coronavirus. Or the people who handle the food have coronavirus. No food will come here from other nations because they'll be contaminated with coronavirus. Okay? The food supply is going to start running out in 6 months. Hallelujah. Okay? 6 months. 6 months. Food supply will start running out. When this coronavirus hit 1 million worldwide, the fear is going to be great. Great fear. Okay? We're not there yet. People think they stole all from the government and so much more. Okay? Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. Let's see if we heard from God. Let's see if what God showed me from heaven is right or not. Let's see. I told the people. People said, well, you said judgment was coming. Where is the brother? Abby? In the beginning of this year, a sister writing to me, where is the brother? You said this last year, nothing. Now this year, now it's 2020. You say that any day soon now. Are you sure? Are you sure this is going to start in this year, 2020, brother? Abby? Are you sure? You really heard from God? She says to me. Sister, I tell you any day, I said January. Okay, we'll see. We'll see, brother. I'm not going to listen to you on the Lord Tower anymore. If nothing happens in January of this year, we'll see. If nothing happens, I'm not going to listen to you. I said, sister, you'll listen. I know you will because you're going to see. We'll see, brother. We'll see. We'll leave it as it is. We'll see. Praise the Lord. January had not finished when we were talking about the coronavirus. Hallelujah. And I said, it began. Now, we'll see how far it's going to go. Hallelujah. Let's see. Because it's going to go very far. And I know a lot of people are still skeptical. Oh, brother, he said this. But let's see for here to July. Let's see where we're going to be in July. Then we're going to be in December, but I tell you, by December, people are running around like crazy by December. This nation is a different nation. It's like watching a zombie movie practically by December. Okay? Let's see. You're going to see. It's going to be terrible. Terrible. No one is talking to no one. No one wants to talk to no one. This coronavirus, it's God's going to humble this nation. Whether people like it or not, he's going to humble. They're going to humble people. He's going to humble this nation. Even government is going to humble. Okay? $15 trillion disappeared from the stock market this past month. Okay? Another 15 they had left over. Another 15 trillion. They had, I told you it was $60 trillion available. $15 trillion disappeared. Another $15 trillion, which they're counting to help out people, okay, in the rest of the year. By the end of the year, those $15 trillion are gone. Gone. Gone with the wind. Let's see what happened when people look back and say, we just lost $60 trillion. Where are we going to dig a hole and get $60 trillion? Okay? Where are we going to dig a hole and get them? Okay? They're going to be gone. $60 trillion will be gone by the end of this year. And that's where panic, that's when the army, you know that the army are doing drill right now. Donald Trump said that himself. They're doing drill. You know what that is? Training to how they're going to deal with people, control people, handle people. Okay? And so by the end of this year, way before that, they're going to have to, like in China, remember how the army in China were dragging people out of their homes by their feet? And people screaming, no, I want to stay them out. No, they were dragging them out, okay? Because people are going to be so sick with the coronavirus and infecting so many other people, okay? I am telling you this so you can be aware and get ready and be prepared. Have all your emergency supply. Last year, when the Lord told me in the beginning of this year, the people to get their emergency supply, I told the people. One of my first messages in January of this year was telling people, get your emergency supply in order. Get your house in order. I told people because soon things are going to change. The beginning of this year, I said that. to the people. It's recorded. It's recorded. Get your house in order. Get your emergency supply. I am telling you, if you're not getting your emergency supply of food for 1 year, at least 1 year, you need to have food for 1 year, because in 6 months, another $15 trillion are going to disappear. And when they disappear, government will go into panic mode. Okay? Martial law is the first thing coming out of their mouth. Martial law, when these $15 trillion they have left goes out and disappear, it's all about martial law. It's about containing people down. It's about throwing people into the FEMA camps. It's all going to turn to the worst before it gets better. Okay? And so please, please listen and please prepare, because that's where we're going as a nation. That's where we're going. And they're even planning to bring down the internet. One of the things that they already mentioned that they're getting ready is to knock down cell phone towers, to turn them down, turn them off, turn off cell towers, and turn off the internet. They're already planning for this. Okay, they're getting the switch in places right now, my brothers and sisters, because they want to get everyone on the same page. Because people have not been listening to the government, and that's why, my brothers and sisters, this is why, is what they're doing. What the Lord showed me in regard to this time coming, let me tell you, in regard to the bank system, okay? The bank system, like Bank of America and all the rest of the bank where people have their money now, are going to, my brothers and sisters, are going to only give people, I saw I think it was $300 a week only. Let's say you had a few thousand dollars in your bank account and you wanted to get $1,000 out. You're not going to be allowed by the bank system in the months to come. This is all in the months to come, my brothers and sisters. I don't even say years no more. This is months to come. Okay? So they're not going to allow, they're not going to allow you to take $1,000 out or $500 out less. I think it's $350 or $250 that I saw them limiting people to. Okay? A day, or a week, I think it was a week. I'm trying to remember exactly. When the Lord showed me this, I was so stunned. I'm like, wow, but it's people money. How they? No. All this is coming in the months to come, my brothers and sisters. That's how stunning things are going to turn. And it's all to get everyone under their control. And also to get in these testing drugs, the DNA testing drugs. And also, they want to get people to the FEMA camps. What's waiting for people in the FEMA camps? The RFID. The RFID are in place, and the FEMA comes all over the U.S., all over the world, my brothers and sisters. And sooner, everybody is in panic mode. People are running from one place to another, looting and stealing, and martial law is in place. And they get people into the FEMA camps. The offer would be, if you want government support or government help, we got to put on this RFID to track you and this and that, and you can track your bank account securely. And they're going to make it sound wonderful to people. But they want to get the RFID into people's right hand ASAP. And the way things are today, they cannot get it into everyone. But the way they're leading the nation into allowing this coronavirus to get in every corner, in every house, in every home, in any hospital, in every town, in every city, my brothers and sisters, that's what they want things to be. They want every single hospital, every single home, every single family to get the coronavirus so that people can turn to them. Then they can ship people, my brothers and sisters, with the RFID. That's what they want. That's what these demons are telling them through those specialized steering computers. No, this is what you need to do to get people to comply. Want to have people comply? You got to give them fear. Give them fear, tremendous fear. Virus will do it. And that's what they're doing, my brothers and sisters. As long as people can go out and free on their cars, go from another state to a state or another country to a country, things are still good for them. Things are still good. But that's not what they want to get people. That's not the level they want to get to. Okay? They want to get to the level where people will cry to government, you need to do something ASAP. And then they say, oh, yeah, no, we've been doing drill. Martial law is the thing. This is what's going to keep everyone at home and all this. Okay? This is going to keep everyone at home waiting for the coronavirus. Okay? Now, I don't know if you noticed something. They say that in China, they contain the coronavirus. Well, just the other day, they allow people to go back to work and all that, and the coronavirus in China is going up again. But one thing is, the dead are increasing in China. Hallelujah. The dead people are increasing, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. They're counting the number now, the people that are dying in China, hallelujah, or getting contaminated by the coronavirus. It was all planned. Just today, 11 people in China died from the corona. 13 people got contaminated as people are being allowed to go on. But it's still in Italy. 3,526 people have gotten the corona today. 2,503 have died so far. And 345 today have died of the corona in Italy. And Iran, 988 people have died. 1,178 today have gotten the corona. And 16,168 in total have gotten the coronavirus in Iran. In Spain, 11,000. Germany, 9,000. South Korea, 8,000. And in France, 7,000. In the U.S., 6,482 cases in total. 1,819 today. 111 people have died. And 25 people have died just today in the United States. A doctor in the United States, scientists keep telling people, this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. 40,000 people in neighborhood in New Jersey have the coronavirus. In Colorado, they believe up to 100,000 people already have the coronavirus. In California, the hundreds of thousands of people that have the virus, the number has not been released. Because if they release the numbers of people in California that has the coronavirus, it will shock California. It will shock the people, and people will begin to run out of California. So they cannot give people a number in California, not even in New York. New York locked out a place where there got to be at least 100,000 people sick. They locked it down, okay? And they have not released the number completely out of New York, my brothers and sisters. Okay? They don't want to scare the nice people like Sister Consuelo. No. they want to keep the information hidden from them. Okay? Because they don't want to lose the good citizens that like to pay taxes, that work hard. No. No, they don't want to scare the people in California. Neither in New York. No, let's not tell people the truth. Let's just, you know, let's keep the numbers away. But I told the people, how many weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks now? That in the United States, they had over 100,000 people infected with the coronavirus, which they were not telling the people. Right now, with the numbers, they're giving people from around all the states in the United States, there's already 500,000 people in the United States that have the coronavirus. Least. That's got to be the least. 1,000,000 people. 500,000 people in the United States right now, according to the cities that are locked down and the information going online that have not been reported. 500,000 people yet. Okay? Mexico is reporting only a few, 200-300 people, and they already have 200,000-300,000 people, which they're not reporting. None of the nation wants to tell people the truth. My brothers and sisters, it's so sad. It's just so sad, my brothers and sisters. None of the state governments want to release the amount of people that are sick. If they tell people in the United States that we have close to 1,000,000 people with the coronavirus, that will have people going crazy. Imagine Italy. Well, we have in Italy 60 million people, and probably half of that have the corona. people say, that's 30 million people. I'm out of here, yo. They'll leave. They'll leave immediately. Hallelujah. But no, the coronavirus is real. And the dead, there are cases not registered of the people that have died yet. Okay? The only few people they register, only a few, they're keeping the number as low as they can. That's all they're doing. Keeping the count as low as they can, like in China, where this young man took a drone on YouTube, and he flew the drone over the buildings in China, in Wuhan, China, that have 11 million people in the building, 11 million people. He flew the drone through close to the building, the windows, showing the emptiness of the building. Every single building, he had his drone flying around, looked empty inside. And he said, look, these buildings are empty. 11 million people in Wuhan practically are disappeared. Where are they? Where are the body of these people? They're only reporting 80,000 people that are infected in Wuhan. And that 2,000 to 3,000 people have died. Where are 11 million people in Wuhan out of those buildings that the buildings are empty today? What happened to those people? Okay? What happened to those 11 million people in Wuhan that got the virus? Okay? It's sad. It is so sad. Unless some people see it, okay? Less people see it, they don't believe it. Okay, so they're keeping the count very low, and if they burn a million body, they do it quickly. Okay, in 24 hours, these people are burning this body in Wuhan quickly, just getting the body out. But they're not counting the body that are people that are dying. But you know, they can keep lying, they can keep hiding things, they'll keep up all these things. Okay, but eventually people are going to notice. Okay. People are going to notice people missing, family missing, right? They're going to notice. People will notice, and people will speak out. But they're also getting ready, martial law, for all of that anyway. So, my brothers and sisters, it is for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. It is for us to repent. It is for us to seek the Lord. It is for us to just stay in union and communion with God. God told us these things will come. They will never tell us the truth about these things. But it doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that we'll repent. Those people, once they got the coronavirus, they should have gotten underneath and cried out to God and repent and turn away from the wicked way. If they didn't do that, hearing about Jesus, then, my brothers and sisters, the blood is upon themselves, as God said to the prophet. And this is how we got to see it. If they die without the Lord, their blood is upon themselves. The olden people in the nursing home here that are dying in the United States and around the world, they had a long time to know God. They heard about God. Now they can repent and really turn to the Lord and just go out in peace with the Lord. Go to heaven. If they repent, they go to a better place. If they repent, they go to a better place. They'll be in a better place, my brothers and sisters. That's the fact of the matter, that you know, yes, the virus is killing people, but yes, it's also bringing a lot of people home quickly. You know, God allows this. I mean, God is waiting for them in heaven. God is waiting for those that are repenting and welcoming them in heaven. My brothers and sisters, heaven is fully aware of these people that are going home. And so that's, you know, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Because a lot of the people in the nursing home were getting nanotechnology through medicine to prolong their life years ago. They began to receive nanotechnology and their medicines. My brothers and sisters, I remember when the Lord confirmed this to me, I was stunned. And so this virus allowed them to go home, really go home, and not stay on earth suffering like they've been suffering. A lot of the people in the nursing home have been suffering for years. They wonder how come they have not died, because they keep giving them this nanotechnology that they say will extend their life. Brothers and sisters, experimental drugs on the elders is what they've been doing for years, but now no more. Now they're going home. They're going home in peace. They're seeing their God now face to face. Hallelujah. Which is a great thing, my brothers and sisters. They're better than you and I that are still down here. And that's the way. That's why we got to have the peace and the armor of God and understand that all these things that are happening is for the good of them that love the Lord. Whether we live, whether we die, my brothers and sisters, through the coronavirus, we will be with the Lord. And that's what's important. They get to go to heaven. They go to enter the place of rest, the rest of God, the rest of the Lord, the Bible talks about. They get to enter that rest and really be at rest and really rest. Because I'm here, I don't know if you noticed, we hardly rest. We go to sleep, yes, but we don't really rest. When you go to heaven, oh, Lord, what a mighty good rest you get when you go to heaven, my brothers and sisters. And that's what's important, that we get to go home. Hallelujah. You go to heaven, and you finally rest in heaven. You finally get a good night's sleep. Oh, that's awesome. In heaven, praise your Lord, where no one will bother you from sleeping. Get to sleep. Oh, thy Lord, in peace, finally, and be no demon bothering you when you're sleeping anymore. Hallelujah. That's so sad. People have nightmares. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus and repent and open doors before you go to sleep. Repent and open doors to the enemy. And don't open doors to sin that we commit. Hallelujah. We need to repent and take responsibility. Hallelujah. And take the armors of God. Can take the hedge of protection and the wall of fire also. Hedge of protection, Job 1:10, wall of fire, Zechariah 3:10, I believe it is. Hallelujah. And where the Lord said, I will be the wall of fire, say the Lord. I will be the glory within the midst. Hallelujah. And take the armor of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. Take the armor of God every night in the Lord word. Confess the armor. Claim the armor through prayer and that you will have a good night's sleep. Ask the Lord to give you a good night's sleep and the Lord will keep you, to keep you while you're sleeping from the attacks of the enemy. That the Lord will be your shield in your strong tower and the Lord will keep you while you're sleeping. Thank you, Lord. Ask the angel of the Lord to come around you while you're sleeping and to protect you, to deliver you. The Lord will do so also. Praise your God. He will send his angel around you. Amen. Very powerful prayer. Billions and millions of warriors, angel, archangel, and even sheriff around your house, around your bed, around your room. And 500 anointing angels anointing your room and anointing your house and 500 ministering angels to pray over you and your family while you're sleeping also. That's very powerful also. Thank you, Lord. Very important that we ask for these things before. Hallelujah. Yes, my shield, my buckler. The Lord is my shield and my buckler. Claim that before you go to bed. And the Lord will keep you protected. The Lord will deliver you from any attack of the enemy while you're sleeping. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's just so awesome to have the protection of the Lord. I noticed that now I've been doing 2 hours at the Lord's hour, but I noticed that in the months to come, I'll be doing 3. I know that it's going to get very busy for me very soon. Please pray for me that I'm able to do 3 hours of ministering here and the Lord's hour. There will come time that all I'm going to do is pray for people, okay, soon. Because people are going to get overwhelmed in the months to come. I am telling you, from here to 6 months, $15 trillion in the United States are going to disappear. And people are going to scratch their head. Stocks are going to be very low. Things are going to be very scary. And companies are going to fire hundreds of thousands of people. Hallelujah. Very important. Very, very important. We stay close to the Lord and focus to Jesus. Because the things that are going to come in the months to come are going to be shocking to a lot of people. Many may have heart attack and stroke. Many people may take their own life in the months to come. That's what's going to be happening. And this is why this is the time to really stay focused on Jesus and seek the Lord. Because there are days coming ahead that are very troubling days. But the Lord will keep us and that the Lord will protect us and that the Lord will deliver us and our family. Please pray for your family and your brothers and sisters. And then sure, hallelujah, sure, the Lord is going to keep us. Yes, many families are going to lose their homes, their cars, much more. Yes, it's going to be sad in the months to come. It is just the way things are going to be, but it's the way God's going to bring everyone underneath crying out to him. The people have stopped praying. People have stopped seeking the Lord. It is time that people turn back to God, my brothers and sisters. That's what God wants, for people to turn back to him. He is our helper. The Lord is the one that we should be going to. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important. And so, yes, I'm going to have to give three hours of Bible study. I'm going to have to do 3 hours of ministry. Hallelujah. And so much more. So much more. Yes. Let's keep them in prayer also. Yes. For sure, sister. We'll keep them in prayer. The Lord will bring healing upon his body. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, the depending on the Lord in the days to come, that's exactly what God wants. But it's not what is in people's agenda or plans in the days to come. People want to depend on medicines and the doctors and the government, the insurance, and so much more. But the Lord wants people to depend on him. And that will require people to fast and pray, which people are not doing. Hallelujah. So that's why, my brothers and sisters, that's why God will allow all these things to come. To get everyone to depend on him. We were never supposed to depend on men. We were never depend on medicines. We were never supposed to depend on doctors, insurance. Never supposed to depend on the government. Never, never. Always to be supposed to be dependent on God himself. God alone. But then we have been growing up in a wicked society where everything is dependent on doctor, medication, school, government, and so much more. And that's all wicked, evil. And God now wants to get people back right. God wants to get them right, wants to get society back, his people right, the nation's right. God wants to make all right, everything right, like his son, right, him, right with God. That's what God wants to do. But it's going to take a lot of work to get people there. Take a lot of work to get people to only look to Jesus, only pray to God for everything they need. Take a lot of work to get people there. But our God has been long suffering. How long do you want God to suffer more to get people there? So now God said enough. That's it. No more. The end of all things is at hand, Father said. That's it. Heard it from Father, heard it from the Lord. The end of all things is a hand, he says. What hand? His hand. His mighty hand. The end of all things is a mighty hand, the mighty hand of Father, Jehovah God Almighty. And he is the one determining that he's going to end all things. That's it. The great tribulation is a hand. The righteous even before. And that's it. And the Lord said to me in the great tribulation, my son, Elvi, 7 more years. 7 more years, he said to me. So 7 more years, my brothers and sisters. That's it. Sooner he take his bride out of here, 7 more years, my brothers and sisters. That's it. Hallelujah. 7 more years, sooner he take his bride. Nothing more, nothing less. 7 more years. So that's what the earth has. And then so the earth will have, people will have to endure in the great tribulation with the coronavirus on them and all the wickedness and the evil that will be released during the coronavirus. All the wickedness and evil. The Lord showed me the devil walking back and forward, going, asking the Lord, when am I going to start my great tribulation? When am I going to start my great tribulation? His kingdom, his great tribulation kingdom. We kept asking the Lord, when? When? I saw him walking back and forth, the Lord showed him to me. And I can't believe he's looking forward to the great tribulation. Because that's what he wants to get his hand dirty with people even more. Or his dirty hand on people. Other way around. Thank you, Lord. And kill most of humanity. Look at Revelation 6. What did they begin to do, my brothers and sisters? The sword, they began to kill a third part of the earth, and then He takes peace from the earth. All that is the work of Satan. Third part of the earth, black horse, red horse, go out immediately. These are wicked, evil spirits. Goes out immediately. Third part of the earth. You know how a third part of, you know what is a third part of the earth being killed, people, under the sword? And then peace taken out of the earth. No more peace. No more peace, my brothers and sisters. Gets taken out immediately. If there's no more, if we think there's no peace now, if you think that what humanity is going through, there's no peace now with this coronavirus, imagine when they take peace out and it's hell on earth. Hell on earth is what they want to bring. How they torment people on earth, they want, in hell they want to do it on earth. That's what they want to do. Put a sword through people's belly, through people's chest. It's what they want to do. Because people are not going to be able to die. So they'll have fun when they put a large sword, 9 feet sword through people's chest, and see people screaming to the top of the lung, and they're laughing and enjoying it. That's what they want for humanity. That's the kind of life they want to give humanity for 7 years. But the Lord is so merciful and so good. He wants to get his children out of here before all the terrible things are coming, my brothers and sisters. This is why staying focused on Jesus now, it is the best thing God wants from each and one of us. Focus on him, praying, repenting daily as much as you can, because we don't know the day and the hour. And so when the trumpet sounds, we get to go home. But it's close, I tell you. Some people are thinking, what about, brother, what about the California earthquakes, the Eastern tsunami? There's war in Israel. When is that going to happen? I tell you, when that happens, which is going to happen so quickly, you're going to say, wow, we already had the California earthquake. Wow, we already had the Eastern tsunami. Wow, the war in Israel already started. These things happen so quickly. Exactly. So don't look for these signs. Yes, I'm looking for them too. I am looking. The Lord was very pleased with last year when he gave me the revelation that I'm looking for the earthquake in California. It's not that I want people to die in California. No. Please don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. I don't want people to die anywhere. But because the Lord has spoken it, I know it's going to come. And shown it to me, I know it's going to come. God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. And so, he's shown this to me. He told me this will come. He told me these were God's word, he says to me. Messiah says to me in heaven. So I know they're going to happen. And I'm very saddened for the people in California. San Francisco is going to get destroyed. My brothers and sisters, California, show me California. California will be a wasteland. Nothing left in California. That large city you see of San Francisco, nothing will be standing left after God get his hand in San Francisco. Nothing. My brothers and sisters, no building will be standing. He's going to destroy all of them. Beautiful city. Wasteland. My brothers and sisters. All those people there are not going to be there anymore. Buildings are going to come on top of people. My brothers and sisters. And it's like the earth swallows them. My brothers and sisters, when I saw children in there, I cried. Hallelujah. But the Lord also cried because the Lord loves them. The Lord loves people. He created men in his image, in his own likeness, long likeness. Man is not a mosquito or an animal. Man is created in the image of God. God loves men very much. And it hurt his heart. It hurt him to destroy them. Because he loved them very much. But he has to bring his judgment. Because men are refusing to repent. Refusing. Rejecting his gospel. Rejecting his sacrifice on the cross. My brothers, now rejecting him. And then that hate me, he said, they love dead. They love dead. So if they love dead, he's going to send them to the kingdom of dead. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. He says to the to the Pharisee, ye of your father the devil. He said to the Pharisee. Pharisee thought he was so much son of God, like Abraham. If ye were son of Abraham, Jesus said, you will listen to me. Because Abraham served God faithfully. And they said, no, we are not son of sin. We are son of Abraham. If ye were son of Abraham, you will listen to me, says Jesus to them. And so when people become of the devil and do the deed of the devil wickedly and turn the sacred constitution of marriage between a woman and a man into a sodomite glory, my brothers and sisters, into the likeness of evil. God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven. They are becoming the sons of Sodom and Gomorrah with their action, my brothers and sisters. When a man marries a man, a woman marries a woman, they are becoming sons of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, that they cry out to God. And I know there's people in San Francisco crying out to God. But it's not only crying out to God, it's truly repenting. Repenting is turning away from our wicked way. Turning away from sins and wickedness. That if you were a homosexual, you turn from that sin. If you were a lesbian, you turn from that sin. That is true repentance. You repent from your heart to God. You say, I'm sorry to your Father in heaven, but then you turn from the wicked way. Hallelujah. That's what you do. That's what Father wants to see. And that's what God is not seeing in the USA, especially in San Francisco and New York. They keep killing the innocent baby. Abortion is the idol in New York and in California. There's a huge idol over California, a huge idol over New York, with a crown right now of the coronavirus. And the crown is killing them. The idol is making them worship him. And the idol is called abortion. My brothers and sisters, the idol of San Francisco, the idol of New York, the idol like lesbian and homosexual sin. These are huge idols that God needs to bring down from these big cities. My brothers and sisters, they're loving them. They're loving them. He says, all that hate me loves dead. They're in love with dead. They're really in love with dead. My brothers and sisters, as they're practicing these evil things, they are worshiping their idols. My brothers and sisters, and God, through this coronavirus, is going to bring their idols down. And when people in San Francisco and New York and all these cities and same country cry out to God, get on their knees and cry out when they have nothing left, because if they don't repent, not only will God take the stock market, my brothers and sisters, God will take their gold. God will take the stock market. God will take the food from the food markets. God will take everything they have that they have for many years that he himself gave to them. He's going to take them away, and people will lose hundreds of pounds in America within a few months. My brothers and sisters, hundreds of pounds. Everybody will become thin in America. Again, a hunger. But it's finally where God's going to get everyone to fast and pray, as he's been calling them, my brothers and sisters. These idols are not going to be destroyed until they cry out to God and God bring his judgment and destroy these idols, my brothers and sisters, because they have given power to these idols. Abortion through Planned Parenthood in America, taxpayer money has been given to them to kill millions of innocent babies. In these few years alone, billions of dollars taxpayer money to Planned Parenthood to to kill innocent baby in California, New York, and almost in every single state. How pleased do you think God is with this? He is disgusted by this sin. And angry to punish the nations of the United States for his sin, great sin, the rest of the world too. They will not escape his mighty hand. Remember when Father was walking, I was in heaven in this planet, and Father God was coming. Man, when I saw him coming, I looked at the mountain to his right, and the mountain was melting. The storm was breaking to dust at his coming. I never seen such a thing. I never seen such a power, not even in a cartoon. Mighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the judge of all the earth, the creator of heaven and earth is coming. And I saw him. I see he was coming. He was about 100 feet away from me. And looked at me with those eyes, penetrating eyes that have fire in him, and says, my enemy will fall, he says to me. My enemy will fall, he says, with a powerful, loud voice. He says, my enemy will fall. I never seen such a power where rocks, solid rocks, are destroyed into dust like nothing at his power, at his coming. My brothers and sisters, God's going to destroy every idol on this earth. He says, my enemy will fall. The enemy of God that have brought people underneath to worship dead are going to be destroyed. In America, in the world, my brothers and sisters, Father God is not happy. I saw his face. He's very angry. And he said, his enemy are going to fall. He says, they're going to fall. Not want to fall into the hand of a living God. My brothers, that's what this nation and the rest of the nations are right now. They are in the hand of an angry God who is going to bring them underneath the unbeliever go away, and he's going to make them right now. That's why the coronavirus is killing so many people in America and around the world. Because if they don't bow to the message, to the merciful message of Jesus Christ, his son, Father God is going to make him bow, because every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every tongue will confess it. Every knee will bow. Every knee, whether they like it or not. Whether they like it or not, my brothers and sisters, he's going to make them. He's going to make them bow to him, my brothers and sisters. That's the time we're entering now. That's the time. That is the time we're entering now. His timing is perfect. Amen. The fullness of time we're entering. We're entering in the fullness of time. His judgment is being seen. For years they heard us speak about this judgment to come. God raising prophets in the different countries, in the different states, and they're raising the voice aloud, saying to the nation, judgment is coming for years, and people laughing and mocking God's servants, calling us false prophets and much more. But now they can see with their own eyes that what God said through his prophet was God's word. And as Jesus said to me in heaven, you have spoken God's word. Hallelujah. And they will be fulfilled. They'll come to pass. He says, fear not, my son. They'll come to pass. Now is the time. Hallelujah. I already begun. God said to his servant, a sister from Central America yesterday, my judgment, God said to her, has begun, my daughter. Tell my people, tell the world that my judgment has already begun. Hallelujah. Now they'll see. Hallelujah. They'll be gone already. God's people know and understand that Father God's judgment has already begun. These that you see, this corona is God's judgment. It has already begun. You have not seen yet what God is going to do to his enemy to make him bow. But he says, my enemy will bow. I will bring them down.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty Yeshua. My brothers and sisters, that's it for tonight. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go rest now. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Sister either Carla or Sister Estrella are going to be on tomorrow night. Do not miss the program. My brothers and sisters, if you want to listen to this program again Thursday night, we'll have this program on again. Don't miss Brother Body and Sister Brenda on Friday. Do not miss the program. God has given Brother Body word for his people. Listen to what God is saying. Hallelujah through his prophet. On Friday, praise you, Lord. Listen, pay attention. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And don't miss next Sunday, live, the Lord's Hour program again. Praise you, Jesus. Whatever the Lord gives me for his people, I'm going to give to you. Praise you, Lord. About the 10 city I saw this week, the Lord showed me, yes, 10 city. They were going around where they will release the coronavirus. So we got to Wuhan, the warehouse in Wuhan, and they released the coronavirus. My brothers and sisters, again, I will tell people whatever the Lord gives me to his people, just continue to repent and prepare for the coming of the Lord. The Bride of Christ are doing the last stand. Please, let's continue to support the children of Israel. I know things are getting very difficult for everyone financially, but let's not stop supporting God's word, because I tell you, hallelujah, hallelujah. Elijah said to the widow, serve me first. And the widow said to Elijah, I already have my last meal to prepare for my son to die, for us to die. And Elijah said, serve me first, woman. And when she served the man of God first, God blessed her house with abundance, more than what she thought possible. She was able to pay her debt. I believe people that are supporting us this year, they're going to be able to pay off their debt also. Serve this program first, and God will, through the first fruit, God will provide to you for you to pay your debt this year. Whatever it is, believe God and pray. If you have a mortgage, if you got car payment, let's pray that God this year will provide to us to pay off our debt. We all owe to the bank. We all owe to the bank one way or another. Let's pray that this year, my brothers and sisters, we'll be able to pay off our debt in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, each and one of you, my sister, my dear sister in Christ, my dear brother in Christ. Thank you for being here with us tonight. Hallelujah. May the Lord keep each and one of you. May the Lord, hallelujah, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus give you a shalom. Shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters.
So, this morning I got up, as I do every Sunday morning, when that alarm clock goes off. And I say, oh, Lord, I'm not ready to wake up yet. I just want to sleep in just a little bit longer. And like you, I hit that snooze button. And I just think to myself, man, it would just be great if I could sleep in today. And then the Lord reminds me that I cannot sleep in because I'm the pastor and I have to go to church. So spent some time in prayer and made the decision to talk about what has happened this last week, the breaking news on Thursday concerning this U.S. strike in Baghdad, Iraq. I had fully intended to teach. We're teaching through and studying 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, by the way, and I had fully intended to teach verses 9 through 12 today, but I didn't want to rush through the prophecy update given what has happened, and I especially did not want to rush through our communion service today because the first Sunday of the month, and this is our first communion service of the year, and the Lord's kind of given me a word, I think, fitly spoken for our communion service. I do want to say, for our online church, that sadly we cannot include the worship music at the end of the prophecy update before the communion service, and we cannot include the communion service on the same video that we upload with the prophecy update, because there are greedy sinners that need Jesus that claim copyrights and try to monetize and advertise on our videos. And even when we've tried to do a public domain song, they still try to file a copyright claim. We dispute it, but it takes 30 days. And so I'm just not okay with that. So we're just going to take and we'll end the video at the end of the prophecy update. And then we are going to partake together as a church of the communion table. For those of you that are able to stay, we'd certainly encourage you to do so. And for those of you online, we have, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have about 3,000-4,000 people all over the world that partake of communion together with us by way of our online church with that video that we upload to YouTube. So they have the elements already. They know that it's the first Sunday of the month. And how cool is that, by the way? So what we're going to do is upload that video separately. So you'll still have the communion service uploaded. So let's get to it. A lot to get to today, as I'm sure you know. Doubtless you've already heard about this. For those of you who have not heard about this, I want to tell you that it is big. This is huge, and that's almost, in some regards, an understatement. So I'm sure you heard about this embassy attack, the U.S. embassy in Iraq, and it was attacked by actually Iranians, and at the helm of this attack on our U.S. embassy was one General Qasem Soleimani. Well, the President of the United States ordered a strike that killed him along with others on Thursday. And this, to me, is a stunning development that I think warrants us taking the needed time to talk about today for our prophecy update. Now, Lord willing, next week we will resume our study through 1 Thessalonians. And by the way, I'm really looking forward to 1 Thessalonians because I know this is deeply profound, but after verses 9 through 12, which Lord willing we'll get to next week, you know what comes after verses 9 through 12? Again, I know it's deeply profound. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4 and on to the rest of the chapter. You know what that's about, right? Well, spoiler alert, it's about the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to the Thessalonian church. So, again, Lord willing, we'll resume that Thessalonians study next week. What I want to do today is talk about the prophetic significance of what took place this last week in the Middle East. Further, I want to also answer a couple of questions, the first of which is a question that everyone is asking: what happens now? What happens next? Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, specifically as it relates to us here today, what does this mean? What does this mean when your alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning? Mine doesn't go off on Monday mornings. I try to sleep in on Monday mornings. I'm thinking about you tomorrow morning. What does this mean to you? When that alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning and you go about your week, you go to work, as some of you do, as you usually do, what does this mean to you? Those are the questions I'm hoping to answer at the conclusion of our time together today. We'll begin with this Fox News report about President Trump ordering the game-changing U.S. military attack that killed Soleimani, the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps elite Quds Force, among other military officials at Baghdad International Airport early Friday. I want to try, in as much as I'm able, to put this into perspective for those of you who are not familiar with who this guy was. This was a bad actor. I've been following him for many years, not following him on social media, but I've been following him for many years. This guy had his handprint in Syria, in Lebanon, my birthplace, in Iraq most recently, and he was the most powerful man in Iran, save the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, even more powerful than the president of Iran, Rouhani. This was a big get, if I can say it that way. And it came as a shock to the Iranians and to the entire Middle Eastern side of the world. Quoting Fox, their deaths, this is interesting, again, maybe an understatement, marked a potential turning point, I would say, dare I say, breaking point in the Middle East, and are expected to draw severe retaliation from Iran and the forces it's backed in the Middle East against Israel and American interests. Perhaps this would be as good of a time as any to parenthetically remind you and say that as far as the Islamic Republic of Iran is concerned, and please delineate between the regime and the people of Iran. This is important. Please make this distinction. When we talk about Iran, we are not talking about the people of Iran. In fact, when this happened, there were people in Iran that were celebrating. We've talked about this before. Do you realize? You're never going to hear it in the media here, but do you realize that in Iran today, God is moving and Iranians are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by the multitudes, and they go underground for fear of death if they're found out. Do you realize that in Iran today, a Muslim comes to Christ, they're born again, they're saved. If they are found out, that's it, they're done, they're dead. And by the way, if they try to invite maybe a friend of theirs there in Iran to their underground church, and it's found out, they're done, they're dead. Think about that. Let that sink in. That's what is happening in Iran today. So when I refer to the regime, I am not including the people of Iran, rather the Islamic Republic of Iran and the supreme leader, the Khamenei. Do you understand that as far as they are concerned, America is the great Satan? And Israel is the little Satan, and they chant again, this is the Islamic Republic of Iran, death to America, death to Israel, in that order. Why? Because first America has to go, so that once America is out of the way, they cannot come to the defense of Israel, which we would do today. So first, death to America, no America to defend Israel, to support Israel. Then once there's death to America, then there's death to Israel. So for this leader to be killed at this time, in this way, by this administration, this is unthinkable. The nighttime attack, again quoting Fox, occurred amid tensions with the U.S. after an Iran backed militia attacked the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. I don't know if you watched the same news coverage that I watched or was on the same news feeds that I was on, but pretty disturbing images. Many were having flashbacks of Benghazi, only one thing was different. This was no Benghazi, though they tried some to make it like that, but this president and this administration took action. You know what's interesting? Iran didn't think he would. Ooh, that was a mistake. It was targeted Tuesday by angry mobs who were protesting recent U.S. airstrikes. This came at the hands of one Soleimani, who orchestrated this, who choreographed this, and planned this, and in fact, in Arabic, on the wall outside of the U.S. embassy there in Iraq. This is not in Iran. This is in Iraq. Hang on to that. That's going to be, I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. In Arabic was written the words, Soleimani is our leader. I saw some posts on social media. Well, probably don't need to go there. Very interesting. Might have been even the president. If you think twice next time you put your leader's name on the wall of our embassy, because we'll take care of that. That was a sanctified... I suppose it should come as no surprise that this has raised the ire of Iran, for whom, again, this killing is unthinkable. They could have never imagined that this would happen. I mean, this Soleimani was, I mean, sort of strutting his stuff, going in and out of all of these countries. He had unfettered access to Iraq, Syria. Oh, by the way, Syria. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. And so he was basically targeted and taken out. And Iran, I believe, is still in shock today. According to Al Arabiya, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani was quoted as saying that Iran and the free nations of the region will take revenge on the United States for killing Soleimani and the deputy commander of Iran-backed militias. You don't hear much about this, but this was another get. Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. He was number two in charge there with Soleimani. I want to show you a picture there on the screen, and please know that I in no way wish to create any fear by showing you this. Rather, I only hope to demonstrate the potential seriousness of this. This is serious. And this is why we're taking the time today to address this from a biblical and prophetic perspective. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. We get comments from time to time, actually often, you're too political. You're too political. To which I would say, listen, this is biblical. This is biblical. When the political becomes the biblical, guess what? We're going to talk about it. Because one-third of the Bible, well nigh, is prophecy. Did you realize that? Did you know that? One-third of the Bible is prophecy. God does not want us to be ignorant when it comes to Bible prophecy. He wants us to be aware of and be informed, which is why he tells us before it happens what's going to happen. So when it happens, we'll go like this. Okay, that just happened. Wow, that's right here. God said that would happen. Yeah. Oh, and this is happening. Yeah, God said this would be happening. Yeah, and then that's happening. Yeah, right here. God said that was going to be happening too. It's happening exactly as we were told it would. So what is this red flag? It's the red flag of Shiite Islam. Let me just say that in Saudi Arabia, you have Sunni Islam, and in Iran, you have Shiite Islam. So this is the red flag of Shiite Islam, which traditionally symbolizes the need for a bloody revenge. It's almost the flag of war. Some are even suggesting that this is the first time in history this flag has been flown on this mosque there in Iran. Even more interesting is that many Shiite Muslims believe the 12th Imam, or Mahdi, which is this Muslim Messiah that you find in the writings of the Hadith, the Muslim. Did you realize that Islam has a Messiah that they're waiting for, that has to come according to their writings? And this Muslim Messiah, this Mahdi, cannot come until there is war and chaos with the West. Oh, interesting. So it's thought that this red flag is a flag that is now flown to alert, to ready the Iranians, the Shiite Muslims, that war is coming, and so too is the Mahdi, the Muslim Messiah. According to The Sun out of the UK, this is a red alert, a flag that symbols the signaling of a severe battle to come. Iran has vowed to hit 35 U.S. targets by virtue of the unfurling of the red flag of war, as America says it expects retaliation within weeks. Have a nice evening. Have a nice afternoon, too. So when I was sharing this with my son, he said, is Hawaii one of those 35 targets? It probably is. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. And I'll explain why here shortly. As I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, as I often do, I have to pray before I do, because like many of you, when you go on social media, and don't look at me all spiritual, because you do the same thing I do. I mean, it is such a temptation to get into the flesh. I mean, you see some of those posts and you're like, I mean, your hands start shaking like a magnet to steel. Go to the keyboard and, hey, I can type 60 words a minute, by the way, with maybe like two errors. No, for real. You know, I took typing in school, and, I don't even write anymore. In fact, I had to write something recently, and I looked at my writing. I thought, I forgot how to write, because I type everything. You know what really upsets me? I know I'm digressing here. Just bear with me. You know, especially you young people, it's just not fair. You know, we learned how to type, right? And you guys get these devices, and you're going with your thumbs. I'm over here going like this, trying to, on a device, which is why I go to my computer. And, I mean, just like a magnet to steel, my fingers are like, you could say that. Oh, sure, I could. And it's kind of like, you know, the imagery, we've all seen it, where, you know, the devil comes up on one shoulder. He's got the red pitchfork and tights and horns. By the way, that's not what the devil looks like, but he's over here, yeah, do it, do it, do it. My flesh loves that. I'm like, yeah. And then the Holy Spirit's over here, don't do it, don't do it. And I just want you to know that I had victory this last week. Last week. The week before, I don't want to talk about that. So I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed. And Sure enough, President Trump tweets in response to this Iranian threat that they're going to target specifically 35 sites. And of course, Trump's going to weigh in, and he does, and he says, by way of tweet, quote, Iran is talking very boldly about targeting certain USA assets as revenge for our ridding the world of their terrorist leader who had just killed an American and badly wounded many others, not to mention all of the people he had killed over his lifetime, including recently hundreds of Iranian protesters. By the way, this man had a lot of blood on his hands. Quoting Trump again, he was already attacking our embassy and preparing for additional hits in other locations. Iran has been nothing but problems for many years. Let this serve as a warning all in caps, I kind of like that, again in a sanctified way, that if Iran strikes any Americans or American assets, we have targeted, and Trump is never outdone, you targeted 35, oh yeah? I'm sorry, you'll forgive me. I love this about our president. 35, we're going to target 52. How about that? You know why? Parentheses. It represents the 52 American hostages taken by Iran many years ago. Oh, remember that? I like that. Kind of into those kind of numbers that represent things like that, especially this. So he says, we have targeted 52 Iranian sites, some at a very high level and important to Iran and the Iranian culture, and those targets and Iran itself, and we're all caps now, will be hit very fast and very hard. The USA wants no more threats. Good for the President of the United States. How about that? Yeah? Yeah. I could just hear them in Iran. This president is no Obama. I'll give you just a moment on that one. I don't think he has any plans of sending $150 billion with a B dollars cash on a plane, on a pallet, to us anytime soon. He might be sending something else to us, but it won't be that. Let's talk about Israel. As you might imagine, I mean, Israel is watching this very closely for what would be deemed obvious reasons. They're bracing for Iranian retaliation. Ynet News is reporting that the IDF is on heightened alert along the border regions, fearing possible retaliation by Iran-aligned groups, Hamas and Hezbollah. You have to understand that Hezbollah and Hamas are like fingers on the hand of Iran. They move everything. It's Iran that is behind these terrorist organizations. Ynet analyst Ron Ben Yishai suggested that, quote, they will wait for the right moment to exact revenge, perhaps by firing into Israeli territory through Shiite militias in Syria, and perhaps even from Gaza. On Friday, the Jerusalem Post published a report about Netanyahu returning to Israel from Athens due to security concerns. He actually cut his trip there short because of what happened. This was on Thursday, reported on Friday. The foreign ministry and security officials have placed Israeli embassies and consuls around the world on high alert following the targeted killing of Soleimani. Netanyahu lauded